Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. In the second half of today's show, we will hear about new food guidelines from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
For the first time, a group of advisors to the department is suggesting that Americans consider the environment when making healthy food choices. This suggestion has caused some debate.
But first, we hear about the Indian state of Maharashtra banning beef last week. Under the law, possession or sale of beef could lead to fines or prison terms of up to 5 years.
Hindu groups welcomed the ban, but many Muslims in western India have criticized it. They say it will make tens of thousands of people jobless. Katie Weaver brings us that story.
Hindus consider cows holy. The animals are already protected in India. But the new law extends the ban to slaughtering bulls, bullocks, and calves. The ban took effect on March 5th. On that day, many slaughterhouses in Maharashtra suddenly closed. Beef disappeared from the menus of restaurants, including those in the state capital, Mumbai. Under the new law, having or selling beef could lead to fines or prison terms of up to 5 years. The Bharatiya Janata Party passed the law. The BJP won control of the state government last year. The party attempted to ban beef 20 years ago, when it was also in power. But the ban was never passed, because the BJP lost power soon after. Mohammed Ali Qureshi is president of the Mumbai Suburban Beef Dealers Association. He said, "The ban will have a bad effect on tens of thousands of butchers, beef retailers, and others involved in the trade." He said, "Many of those affected are among the poorest people in the area. They have little or no education and cannot easily get other jobs." He said, "People have become jobless without notice." Beef consumption in India is limited to non-Hindus. But the country has become the world's second biggest exporter of beef. Most of the meat comes from buffaloes. Hindu groups do not like that India is a major exporter of beef. They say many cows are being illegally killed. Muslims control most of the beef trade. Banning beef has become a major issue between India's Hindus and Muslims. Venkatesh Abdev is with the World Hindu Council. He says his group will fight for a nationwide ban on beef consumption. Mr. Abdev agrees that the ban will affect people working in the beef trade. But he says it is a price to be paid. He notes the killing of cows is a very emotional issue for Hindus. Mohammed Shahid Sheikh is president of a beef transporters group in Deonar, where one can find India's biggest slaughterhouse. He says more and more trucks with cattle are being attacked. The attacks are blamed on Hindu activists. Mr. Sheikh says those in the beef trade tell protesters that they are following all the rules. But the protesters say they will do everything they can to prevent the animals from being killed. The beef ban also became a top trend on Twitter last week. Some Twitter users supported the move, but thousands criticized the ban. Some users compared the progress made on protecting cows to the lack of progress on safety for women. In the words of one user, "Good to know India is more safe for cows than women." I'm Katie Weaver.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to As It Is.
Before the break, we heard about a state in India banning the sale of beef for religious reasons. Next, we hear about another debate over food.
Americans are not eating as much meat as they used to. Price is a major reason. But people also say there are other reasons, such as health and ethics. A group of advisors to the U.S. Department of Agriculture says Americans should consider the environment when choosing their food. This suggestion has caused some debate. Anna has more.
Every 5 years, the United States Department of Agriculture issues dietary guidelines for Americans. These guidelines are based on updated nutritional science. Janet Riley is a top official with a trade group, North American Meat Institute. She says the department's suggestions or recommendations affect some of the most vulnerable people in America, those who depend on school lunches and federal programs for older people, women, and children. The advisory report is open for public review. Some parts of it have caused debate. The part causing the most debate is the report's link between healthy food choices and environmental sustainability. Janet Riley says the discussion of environmental sustainability is not part of what the House of Representatives told the committee to consider. However, some people say that including environmental issues is good for the public and the planet. One of these people is Janet Larson, a research director for the Earth Policy Institute, an environmental group. Ms. Larson says that meat production releases a lot of carbon gas into the environment. Farm animals that are raised for food require a lot of land, food, and water. Ms. Larson says this is part of their carbon footprint. Janet Riley, again who represents the Meat Institute, says people who are experts in nutrition are not experts in the environment. She says the panel does not have enough scientific information or knowledge to link the environment to food guidelines. The aim of the guidelines is to control disease and obesity, the condition of being overweight. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will issue its final dietary guidelines later this year. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Green is an important color in nature. It is the color of grass and the leaves on trees. It is also the color of most growing plants. Sometimes the word green means young, fresh, and growing. Sometimes it describes something that is not yet ripe or finished. For example, a greenhorn is someone who has no experience, who is new to a situation. In the 15th century, a greenhorn was a young cow or ox whose horns had not yet developed. A century or so later, a greenhorn was a soldier who had not yet had any experience in battle. By the 18th century, a greenhorn had the meaning it has today, a person who is new in a job. About 100 years ago, greenhorn was a popular expression in the American West. Old-timers used it to describe a man who had just arrived from one of the big cities back east. The greenhorn lacked the skills he would need to live in the hard, rough country. Someone who has the ability to grow plants well is said to have a green thumb. The expression comes from the early 1900s. A person with a green thumb seems to have a magic touch that makes plants grow quickly and well. You might say that the woman next door has a green thumb if her garden continues to grow long after your plants have died. The Green Revolution is the name given some years ago to the development of new kinds of rice and other grains. The new plants produced much larger crops. The Green Revolution was the result of hard work by agricultural scientists who had green thumbs. Green is also the color used to describe the powerful emotion jealousy. The green-eyed monster is not a frightening creature from outer space. It is an expression used about 400 years ago by British writer William Shakespeare in his play Othello. It describes the unpleasant feeling a person has when someone has something he wants. A young man may suffer from the green-eyed monster if his girlfriend begins going out with someone else. Or that green-eyed monster may affect your friend if you get a pay raise and she does not. In most places in the world, a green light is a sign to move ahead. A green light on a traffic signal means your car can continue on. In everyday speech, a green light means approval to continue with a project. We want you to know we have a green light to continue this series next week. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Warren Shear.
I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we tell about Arthur Miller. Many theater critics believe he was one of the greatest American playwrights of the 20th century.
Several plays by Arthur Miller will probably be performed for many years to come. That is because critics say Miller was able to dramatize the emotional pain that average people suffer in their daily lives. A critic once described Miller as an activist for the common man. He demonstrates this well in one of his most famous plays, Death of a Salesman. The main character is a man whose dreams of success in business have died. But Miller's interest in the average man did not stop him from exploring major problems of society. In The Crucible, for example, he shows what happens when unreasonable dislike and fear cause people to accuse innocent people of horrible crimes. Some other of his best-known plays include All My Sons, A View from the Bridge, and After the Fall.
Arthur Miller was born in New York City in 1915. He died in 2005 at his home in Roxbury, Connecticut. For 60 years, he created one dramatic work after another. Miller won many awards for his plays. Among them were a Pulitzer Prize, New York Drama Critics Circle Prizes, and Tony Awards. In 1984, the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., honored him for his lifetime work in drama. Miller also created stories for movies. For example, he wrote The Misfits for actress Marilyn Monroe. Miller's television drama, Playing for Time, told of an orchestra of prisoners at the Nazi death camp Auschwitz during World War II. Miller was also a political activist for human rights. But it was drama performed in the theater that Miller loved most.
Arthur Miller grew up in New York. His father, Isidore Miller, manufactured clothing and operated a store. But the father lost his money in the Great Economic Depression in the 1930s. The family had to move from a costly apartment in Manhattan to a small house in Brooklyn. During the Depression, Arthur worked at many jobs to earn money for college. In 1934, he began studying English at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Miller won an award for writing plays while at school.
Miller returned home to New York after completing his studies. He married his college girlfriend, Mary Slattery. They had two children before later ending their marriage. In 1944, Arthur Miller's first major play was performed on Broadway. It was called The Man Who Had All the Luck. However, the play did not bring him good luck. It had only four performances. But his second Broadway play, All My Sons, was a major success. It won several awards in 1947. All My Sons tells of a manufacturer who produces faulty parts for airplanes used in World War II. One of his sons dies as the result of the father's crime. In the play, Miller examines the relationship between the pressure to succeed and personal responsibility.
Miller's great play, Death of a Salesman, opened on Broadway in 1949. He was 33 years old when he wrote it. Death of a Salesman questions the pressures in American society for people to gain financial success. The play also continues his exploration of the relationships between fathers and sons. The central character in Death of a Salesman is 60-year-old Willie Loman. The action opens on the last day of Willie's life. He has been dismissed from his job as a traveling salesman. He also recognizes that he has failed as a father. Willie thinks about killing himself. Willie's wife, Linda, understands that he is deeply and dangerously sad. But their son, Biff, criticizes his father's strange actions. She answers with some of the most famous words in the American theater.
I don't say he's a great man. Willie Loman never made a lot of money. His name was never in the papers. But he's a human being, and a terrible thing is happening to him. So attention must be paid. He's not to be allowed to fall into his grave like an old dog. Attention must finally be paid to such a person. You called him crazy.
I didn't mean...
No. A lot of people think he's lost his balance. But you don't have to be very smart to know what his trouble is. The man is exhausted.
Linda knows that Willie is extremely tired. He is tired of living. He kills himself before the play is over. Linda talks to Willie at his burial place.
I search and search and I search, and I can't understand it. Willie, I made the last payment on the house today. Today, dear. And there'll be nobody home.
Death of a Salesman had a big influence on the American public. Many people saw their own lives in Willie Loman, the victim of broken dreams. Americans discussed the financial worries of businessmen who were getting old. But Americans were not the only ones who identified with the ideas in the play. It has been translated into about 30 languages and performed around the world.
Arthur Miller's criticisms of modern American life influenced another of his most important works. The Crucible was first produced in 1953. The 1950s were a time of extreme fear of communism in the United States. Sometimes this fear was unreasonable. Miller examined this difficult period in American history by setting his play at another difficult time. The Crucible takes place in the 17th century. He based his play on trials that took place in Salem, Massachusetts. Young women in the play accuse people they dislike of being evil witches. the innocent victims are put on trial and executed. The story shows the tragic results of uncontrolled suspicion and fear. The Crucible has been produced more than any of Miller's plays, both in America and around the world.
Like the victims in The Crucible, the playwright himself became the object of suspicion. In 1956, a committee of the United States Congress ordered him to give evidence. In the 1940s, he had attended several meetings for writers organized by the Communist Party. The Congressional Committee wanted the names of other people who attended Communist meetings. Arthur Miller said he was not a Communist, but he would not give the committee any names. He was found guilty of disobeying Congress. Later, however, a court canceled that judgment. Miller was lucky. Some people who would not answer questions before Congress served time in prison.
Something else lucky happened to the playwright in 1956. Miller married the beautiful Hollywood actress Marilyn Monroe. But their marriage was troubled. Monroe had emotional problems. They had little privacy because the media followed the famous couple everywhere. Miller wrote the 1961 movie The Misfits for his wife. The movie explored the modern Wild West through the lives of three troubled people. Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe ended their marriage soon after the movie was completed. A year later, Monroe died of a drug overdose. Miller wrote another play, After the Fall, in 1964. Critics said it was the play most about his own life. They criticized him for portraying the wife of the main character as a woman who is dependent on drugs and kills herself. They said the character was based on Marilyn Monroe. But Miller denied this.
Miller married for a third time in 1962. He and his wife Inga Morath, a well-known photographer, had one daughter. Morath died in 2002. Miller once said that even after he and Inga had been married almost 40 years, people still asked him about Marilyn Monroe.
Arthur Miller also wrote short stories and a book about his life called Time Bends, A Life. He once wrote that when he was young, he imagined that with the possible exception of a doctor saving a life, writing a worthy play was the most important thing a human being could do. Theater owners on Broadway agreed. On the day after he died, the lights of Broadway theaters darkened for a minute in honor of Arthur Miller.
This program was written by Geraldine Watson. It was produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember. Sarah Long and Rich Kleinfeld were the characters from Death of a Salesman. Join us again next week for another People in America in VOA Special English.